I'm Ryan from Broncho.
So I'll fill in some blanks. Let's see, 2010, first record. Then you've been on the road for a couple of years before the new one. You're from Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm more interested in is some things between the lines that are really going to inform people about the band. Because people can listen to the record. People probably have at least heard Class Historian 5,962 times.
I always made pretty average grades. We're an average band. We make average grades. We're average height. We're all the same height.
So wait a minute. How tall are you? We're going to see about this. How tall are you?
We're all 5'10".
Wait. Are you really?
5'9" and a half, 5'10".
So now, did you recruit the band based on height?
Yeah, basically. That's where we started.
Being able to play instruments wasn't worth anything.
No, I had roughly like 100 profiles and...
You're being serious now.
Yeah, everybody, I'm looking for height and bench press. So we all pretty much have the same bench press. We all max out roughly within 10 to 20 pounds of the other person's max out.
Wow, the rigors of being in this band, it's difficult. All right, let's talk recent history. You survived South by Southwest. This wasn't your first South by, obviously. You're a trooper.
I've probably played with different bands at 8 South by Southwest now, and I've never had the luck we had this year on PAs.
Yeah, the weather was lovely the last day or two.
Yeah, it was.
Did you have a rain gig?
We had one show that it quit raining right when we started playing.
And the rainbow appeared, and Broncho went on, and the world was beautiful.
Ah.
So the good news about Class Historian, right, is that it's hooky. The even better news is that people try to stutter along with you, and that's really cool, and it's like a sing-along. The not-as-good news is that there's a lot more to the band. What percentage of the world has taken the time to actually, in this lovely world of ours, dig deeper?
Listen, I love viruses, so I want to get people sick, you know? I'm sick.
There you go.
I want to bring everybody into it. We want to be glamorous.
So what's the definition of glamorous?
Glam rock.
Is the definition of glamorous?
I think we're probably... I don't know. Maybe we get a few more showers than we used to. that makes us a little bit more glamorous.
Your what you do is based on the songs and the music, and we're going to get deeper into that. It's not based on the look of the band.
It always is. It always goes back to the look. But the sound. Maybe the sound is more glamorous. Maybe we have a glammy sound. Glam. I'm really bad about genres. I know porn genres really well. I can like the categories of pornography.
Okay, let's go through those and let's attach them to the music. Come on, let's go. I mean, we know there's softcore, there's hardcore, but this is a good rock and roll topic.
You look at, you know, if you go to any porn site and you look at the category, it's going to have it's going to start out with the A's, you know, so you're going to get like amateur. You're going to go through the B's, so you're going to get like the blonde, the brunette, you know.
And then you go under F, and oh boy, you could go for hours.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Because there's about a million of those, right? How about fetish rock?
Fetish rock.
Fetish rock as a genre. What do you think?
I'm way into fetish rock.
What do you think?
I've been into fetish rock for a while. I think that's what led us down this path.
Did your first record company go out of business on you? Is that what happened? They went kaput?
They lost their money.
That's never happened in the industry before.
They lost their glam.
Record company goes out of business. Did you own your masters? Did you own your publishing? Did you own your stuff? Or were you up a creek without a paddle when that went bye-bye?
No, we got it all back. We got it all. It was in that period where we were touring and then needed to go back and work on the record that...
This record. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. They went bye-bye during the making of this record.
Yeah, they went... basically we had demoed some stuff at that point, you know, and but with the intention of going back and okay, now I think we know what we want to do. By the time that came around, yeah, we were without a label. But our friends who we record with, they're kind enough to work without getting paid for us, and we got lucky. So we finished the record essentially on our own, and then we
then you shopped it.
Yeah, before we fully got the mixes done, we sent it around, and Dine Alone was the best dudes.
What was it about Dine Alone that appealed to you that you figured they would get this out there where we all wanted them to get it out?
That money, baby. All kidding aside, they seemed to be on the same page with what we wanted to do, and I felt the most comfortable through talking to them that we could accomplish what the place where we were coming from. They just seemed to understand. For that matter, everybody any label that was really going to come talk to us was all pretty laid back. So everybody we dealt with was great. But Dine Alone, there was something about them that just we really clicked with. And so here we are in San Francisco.
You definitely decided on the vocals throughout this record to have a sound. So is that a Broncho thing or is that a this album thing?
I think it's a little of both. I think every record that I work on for myself, if I'm singing on it, I get to a place on that record where the vocals are doing something that I feel comfortable with. So part of it is I a lot of the times I'll end up tracking a lot of the vocals myself. And so it's a mix of that and then also trying stuff out with the guys that we record with. It's the whole process, but I think, yeah, vocals are important. I think you try to get something that makes sense that can pull different songs together, because sometimes without that, if you just start making a couple different moves, certain songs really don't fit on the record, because the songs are all different in their own way. I think the way that we write songs is very specific to that.
But there is a commonality, particularly in the vocals and the guitar sounds that tie, as they say in the Big Lebowski, that tie the room together.
It's all about those little things to certain songs that you could go a different place with if you throw a couple of these themes in. And it's not necessarily anything that we... it's more something that's in the subconscious when we do that, because we're not really having conversations about it. But in some ways, maybe it's easy to do that. But I think it's a little bit more comfortable just to like stay in one world.
Having a sink on girls.
A friend of ours is the music supervisor on that show, and he's been. So like a fan of the first record, and then we did that recording at a radio show in Chicago. It's called Audio Tree, and he really liked that session.
What was different about it?
A lot of things. The tempo, it was a live recording, so it's I'm gonna sing differently, which some people like that more. I like I don't know. There's maybe something a little bit more raw about that recording. So it seems like people seem to connect with that.
But I've already read that you're antsy to make the new record. Now, are you beyond antsy, and have you started making the new record? Or has the touring required you to not quite get there yet?
We haven't quite got there yet, but I think I... certain times I'm like, yeah, I really want to record, and I'll be in that mind frame, and then it will be gone the next week, and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm touring. I don't want to be in a studio. So it's a little, my mind's always changing. However, I have been writing stuff, and I'm excited about that. I really like that process of when you first come up with an idea. I'm probably just ADD enough that I need to just like move around. I like the change up. If I could record for a week or two and then chill, go play some shows, maybe come back. Yeah, we're always there's no deadline band, you know, previously. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a deadline now. It could help. It could help. But I don't, we're procrastinators. I'm a procrastinator. It's one of my talents.
One of your endearing qualities.
I'm a procrastinator.
How does the music go over? Does it go over better in intimate atmospheres, do you think? I mean, because obviously Class Historian's like an anthem, so that works really well. But
we've actually been having a lot of fun in festivals lately. Historically, I didn't like the ideas of festivals because with this band, we make more sense late at night in a really claustrophobic little area. And playing at like 1:30 or 2:30 or even 4:30 and any time before 10, especially when there's light outside, seems like the worst place to see us. But everybody has been partying so hard at these festivals that you can't really tell.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs on the outside as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.